All right, let's dive into a Supreme Court case that really, I mean, really shook things up. Ashcraft v. Tennessee, a story about an intense interrogation, a murder conviction, and a legal fight that changed how we view confessions in America.
Oh, yeah. Ashcraft is, it's a big one. It grapples with this, well, this huge question. Can a confession, you know, often the most powerful evidence, be tossed out if it wasn't actually voluntary?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. 1941 Tennessee. Zelma Ida Ashcraft is murdered. Her husband, E.E. Ashcraft, becomes the prime suspect. What comes next is, get this, a 36-hour interrogation. 36 hours.
And that's where things get, well, legally messy. Ashcraft cracks, confesses, and even brings another man into it, John Ware. And keep in mind, this is the Jim Crow South, where he was a young black man who later said he only confessed because he was afraid for his life. You know, terrified of a lynch mob. You can only imagine the kind of pressure these guys were under.
So they both get convicted, 99 years. But then the Supreme Court steps in, kind of throws a wrench in the gears, and overturns Ashcraft's conviction, 6-3.
The court basically, they drop this inherent coercion bomb, saying that even without physical force, just the sheer length and intensity of the questioning can overpower someone's will, make a confession involuntary. Justice Black, writing for the majority, argued that it messed with Ashcraft's mental freedom, which is, you know, a big part of due process.
So basically they're saying psychological pressure is just as bad as physical force when it comes to getting a confession. A pretty radical idea for back then.
Oh, it was. Now, this doesn't mean everyone agreed. Three justices, including that big name, Robert Jackson, they dissented. They felt the majority went too far, even pointed to stuff that suggested Ashcraft was calm during the whole thing. They worried this would tie the hands of law enforcement, let criminals get away because of a technicality.
So it was bigger than just one guy's guilt or innocence, huh?
Yeah.
More about the whole power struggle between federal and state courts. You know, for folks listening who maybe aren't a legal expert, deference here means how much one court respects another court's decision, right?
Exactly. The dissenters felt the Supreme Court shouldn't be second-guessing the state court so easily, but the majority, they held their ground. They argued that protecting those core rights, especially when it comes to a confession, is the Supreme Court's job, even if it ruffles some feathers. It was like drawing a line, saying due process isn't just about following the rules, it's about making sure things are genuinely fair.
And we can't forget about John Ware, the black man, who said he confessed because he was afraid of being lynched.
Yeah.
It adds another, well, another layer of messed upness to the whole thing.
Absolutely. That context is, it's crucial to understanding how things worked in the Jim Crow South. It highlights how vulnerable suspects were, especially black men, to coercion by, you know, by the police.
And even though Ashcraft didn't directly deal with racial discrimination, it did pave the way for future cases that tackled that link between race and forced confessions.
Right. Ashcraft built a legal framework for challenging those power imbalances. It made it possible to argue that confessions, no matter who's giving them, have to be truly voluntary, not born out of fear.
Okay, so Ashcraft didn't put a hard time limit on questioning, but it did create this totality of circumstances test. Can you break that down a bit? What does that actually mean?
So it means courts got to look at the whole picture when they're judging a confession. The length of questioning, sure, but also how vulnerable the suspect was. Were they denied basic things like food or sleep? Did they have a lawyer? It's about taking all that into account to see if a confession was really voluntary or if it was forced.
So it's not just checking boxes. It's about like getting the nuances of each situation and making sure things were done right. Which makes me wonder, how does Ashcraft affect legal practice today? I mean, we have those Miranda warnings now, the ones we hear on all the cop shows.
Well, think of Ashcraft as the precursor to Miranda. It set the stage for recognizing that psychological coercion is a thing. Miranda, which came a couple decades later, built on that by making it mandatory for suspects to be told their rights. You know, the right to stay silent, to have a lawyer present. But Miranda's not perfect.
So you're saying even with Miranda, there are still times when those warnings aren't given right, or maybe someone feels pressured to give up their rights.
Exactly. And even when Miranda rights are all neat and tidy, courts still use that totality of circumstances test from Ashcraft to double check if the confession was truly voluntary. This case, it provided a way to analyze coerced confessions that's still relevant today.
Can you give us a real world example of how that might work in court?
Sure. Let's say someone's being interrogated for hours, no food, no water, they're not allowed their meds. Even if they were read their Miranda rights, that totality of circumstances test from Ashcraft could lead a court to say, nope, that confession's no good, it was coerced.
So Ashcraft created this extra layer of protection, like a safety net, to make sure confessions aren't just squeezed out of people.
Exactly. And that's especially important for vulnerable suspects. Maybe they don't fully understand their rights, or things like age, mental capacity, language barriers make them more susceptible to coercion.
It makes you wonder, how does this test actually get applied? What are some real-world examples of those circumstances that might make a court throw out a confession?
Well, there's this fascinating case from 2016, State v. Jeremiah. This young man with autism was interrogated for hours, no lawyer or anything. He ends up confessing, but the court tossed the confession, citing Ashcraft. They said because of his autism and the long interrogation and no lawyer, it created this coercive environment, you know? So the confession wasn't reliable.
So even though he probably got his Miranda rights read to him, Ashcraft gave the court a way to look deeper and protect his rights. It's interesting how these big cases, how they work together.
Yeah, for sure. And it shows Ashcraft's impact goes beyond just setting a precedent. It set up this bigger idea that due process is about more than just ticking boxes. It's about true fairness and protecting individual liberties, especially when the stakes are high, you know.
Makes you think, are there times when that line gets blurry? I mean, we want law enforcement to be effective, but not if it means stomping on people's rights.
That's the core of it, isn't it? Security versus liberty. Ashcraft reminds us that even when we're dealing with serious crimes, we can't just throw fairness out the window.
Which brings up another interesting legal thing, the exclusionary rule.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, for those listening who might not know, explain how that fits in here?
Right. So the exclusionary rule basically says evidence that's gathered illegally, like a forced confession, can't be used in court. It's there to protect against police misconduct, make sure the government plays by the rules. Ashcraft, by setting the standard for what makes a confession coerced, helps define what evidence falls under that exclusionary rule.
So Ashcraft makes the exclusionary rule stronger by giving courts a clearer way to decide when a confession is no good. That's a big impact.
It is, and it goes deeper. There's this other legal principle. It's called the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine. Basically, if the original evidence is tainted, anything that comes from it, like a lead you get from a bad confession, that's also no good in court.
So a coerced confession isn't just bad on its own. It can mess up the whole investigation. That's why Ashcraft is such a big deal. It's not just about one confession. It's about keeping the entire justice system, keeping it clean.
Exactly. It's about realizing due process isn't just a technicality. It's the foundation of a fair system.
Okay, let's switch gears a bit. Talk about those dissenting opinions in Ashcraft. You mentioned Justice Jackson before. What were their main concerns? How did they see the majority's decision?
Well, they were mostly worried about what they saw as the court overstepping. They thought the majority was too quick to second-guess the state court and that this could set a bad precedent. Justice Jackson especially, he argued that the majority kind of ignored some evidence that maybe, just maybe, Ashcraft's confession was legit. And he thought the state courts were better equipped to figure out if that evidence was believable.
So they weren't saying those long interrogations were okay. They were more worried about federal courts stepping on the toes of state courts.
Yeah, exactly. They thought the ruling gave too much power to federal courts and could lead to a ton of appeals claiming coercion.
That's a valid point. Mm-hmm. How did the majority respond to that? Did they address that, the potential for abuse or the possibility that a real confession could get thrown out?
They did. They acknowledged those worries, but they said protecting those fundamental rights was more important. They said the Supreme Court has to step in when those rights are in danger, even if it means overturning a state court's decision.
So it was like them saying, we get it, but in this case, the potential for messing things up was too big to ignore.
Right. And they made it clear they weren't trying to make a strict rule, but more of a framework for looking at confessions case by case, considering all the circumstances.
It sounds like they were trying to strike a balance.
Yeah.
Recognizing we need effective law enforcement, but also we can't forget about individual rights.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance, and Ashcraft really drives that home.
Now, I'm curious, what was the public reaction to the Ashcraft decision? Was it seen as a win for civil liberties, or was there pushback from folks who thought it was letting criminals get away with stuff?
Oh, it was mixed, just like you'd expect. Civil liberties groups, they loved it, saw it as a huge victory for due process. They said it would help prevent innocent people from being wrongly convicted. But others, they weren't so happy. They said it would make it harder for law enforcement to do their jobs, that guilty people would go free.
So the debate in court was the same debate happening out in the world. Sounds like Ashcraft hit a nerve, those deep anxieties about crime and punishment. And that's a debate that's, well, that's still going on today.
Definitely. Ashcraft made everyone think, what are we willing to sacrifice for justice? Can we risk throwing away individual rights just to get convictions?
That's a tough one, and there's no easy answer. But Ashcraft gives us a way to think about these hard questions and its impact, how we view confessions, the limits of police power. It's still felt today.
It also brings up important stuff about race in the criminal justice system. Ashcraft itself didn't directly talk about racial bias, but the context of the case, especially John Ware saying he confessed because he was scared of being lynched, it shows how vulnerable Black suspects were, especially in a racially charged environment like that.
It's a reminder that even when the law changes for the better, it doesn't magically fix all the systemic problems in our justice system. It shows how much work there was, and still is, to do even after a big ruling like this.
Absolutely. Ashcraft was a step in the right direction, for sure, but just one step on a long road towards a fair system for everyone.
So while Ashcraft helped protect people from forced confessions, it also showed us all those deep-rooted problems and inequalities that are still present in our criminal justice system.
Yeah, it reminds us that legal precedents, that they're important, but they're just one piece of the puzzle. Real justice means tackling not just the symptoms, but the root causes of inequality.
And that takes us to another layer, how interrogation tactics have changed since Ashcraft. We've talked about Miranda warnings, but have there been other techniques or strategies that came about because of this case and other legal changes?
Oh, definitely. Law enforcement, they've had to adapt how they do interrogations over time. A lot of that's because of legal challenges and changing ideas about what's acceptable. And those adaptations have led to, you know, to new court battles and different interpretations of what exactly a coerced confession is.
So it's like this constant back and forth, right? Law enforcement trying to get confessions, but within the rules, and the courts making sure they stick to those rules. That's a pretty interesting dynamic.
It is. And understanding that dynamic is key for anyone interested in criminal justice, whether you're a lawyer, a law student, or just someone who cares about how our system works.
We've talked a lot about the legal side of Ashcraft, but what about the human side? What happened to E. Ashcraft after his conviction was overturned?
Well, after the Supreme Court's decision, Ashcraft was retried in 1946. Well, after the Supreme Court's decision, Ashcraft was retried in 1946. This time, they couldn't use his confession. And without it, the prosecution, well, they didn't have much of a case. Ashcraft was acquitted.
So after everything, he walked free. That's quite a twist.
It is. And it really shows how important the Ashcraft ruling was, you know, for protecting individual rights. It reminds us that even when everyone's convinced, even when someone seems definitely guilty, due process has got to come first.
What about John Ware? Did his case change at all after Ashcraft?
Unfortunately, no. Ware, he didn't get a new trial. He stayed in prison until he was pardoned in 1970. It's a reminder that justice wasn't always equal, especially back then in the Jim Crow South.
It's sad, really, that Ashcraft, a case that came from such injustice, didn't fully fix the system that kept Ware locked up. Shows how much more needed to be done, even after a ruling like this.
Yeah, Ashcraft was a step forward, no doubt, but just one step on a long road.
So we've covered a lot, the history, the legal stuff, the personal stories. But for our listeners, you know, the lawyers and law students, what's the big takeaway from Ashcraft? What should they remember?
Ashcraft reminds us that confessions, even though they seem like the best evidence, can be really tricky. They can be forced, manipulated, even misinterpreted. That totality of circumstances test, it means lawyers have to dig deeper, look beyond what's obvious, and really scrutinize how that confession came about.
You can't just take a confession at face value. Got to understand everything surrounding it, the pressure, the suspect's vulnerabilities, the whole context.
Right. And for prosecutors, Ashcraft says, hey, don't build your whole case on just a confession. You need other solid evidence to back it up, especially if that confession is shaky.
It's like building a house. You need a strong foundation, not just one pillar holding everything up. And for defense attorneys, it's a reminder that even a confession that seems rock solid, it can be challenged.
Exactly. Ashcraft gives them a way to protect their clients, especially those who might be vulnerable to coercion or manipulation. It says that due process is more than a technicality. It's the core of a fair system.
I think that's a great point to wrap things up on. A big thanks to our expert for taking us on this deep dive into Ashcraft v. Tennessee.
My pleasure.
And to everyone listening, keep those legal minds sharp. And remember, Justice means being vigilant, always, and protecting the rights of everyone, even those accused of the worst crimes.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's all for today's deep dive. Until next time, keep those questions coming and keep learning.